You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, welcome back in here to the Early Line. Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez with you as we keep our fingers crossed, pushing forward as many states around the country beginning to open up a little bit, try to get back to some sort of normalcy and a socially distant reality that we all live in right now. And along with that slow progression to getting back up and getting going, we certainly hope, and we know a few sports that are in there, and Dane and I continue to push forward and say, you know what, it's give us another month or so, and we should, and we hope, and everything keeps pointing to, Dane, that Major League Baseball will have some season here, that the NBA will figure out a way to crown a champion, the NHL, same situation, college football, universities opening up, and of course, the NFL. And I'll give you one other note too, Dane, that we didn't mention earlier, but it's, well, we talked about that Skins game, if you will, with Phil and
Tiger and Phil. Yeah.
Yeah. That is coming up. Peyton Manning and of course, Tom Brady going to be involved in that. It's going to, by the way, all of that is going to go to help COVID-19 relief efforts. But now, in addition to that, we've also found out, Dane, there's going to be yet another opportunity for us to be able to kind of check out. Yeah, we've got Matthew Wolff, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, and Rory McIlroy all going to get together and put together some sort of benefit, some sort of match like that, a skins match, great, in fact, from what we understand, in order to raise money for that. I think May 17th is when we're going to see that. It's going to be at the Seminole Golf Club, which is in Palm Beach County, very exclusive golf course. So, but we, more and more of that is coming open. And don't forget, June 11th, Farmers Open for sure. So between Rory and Ricky and Dustin Johnson on one side and Tiger and Phil and Brady and the other, both of those things are going to happen over the next couple of weeks in May, Dane. So nice little primer getting us ready for NASCAR, UFC. And hopefully, Dan, if we're lucky, we'll be talking about maybe looking at the NBA getting ready to rev up on the playoffs. So I think things are moving well, and we keep our fingers crossed, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it sounds like we are at the point in time where we're trying to figure out what it will look like, and we're starting to get more details on these plans. And so, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we're looking at maybe when we get to June, you know, you say kind of some of these golf tournaments that are holding true. We're even seeing the Belmont, you know, deciding maybe they can run in June. And so we're getting close, Joe.
Yep. It's got a lot of money is going to be raised. Plus, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch some of our favorite golfers, the legends in the game, plus, you know, the top players in the world getting out there, raising money, and getting to see some golf on television. And you know, Dane and I will be betting on it because we're that kind of degenerate.
Sure will.
But now that we are past the draft here and everybody has had an opportunity to kind of take a deep breath, see what we've got going on, we thought we'd start at the very top of the draft here and kind of do a roster reset, if you will, and start at number one day, work our way to number 32 there during the draft. Only we'll do the 32 teams, not Miami, who had 9 picks. But we'll go ahead and do 1 through 32 and kind of give you our thoughts on the rosters as currently constructed, which is probably going to be what we see is what we get here, Dane. So let's roster reset the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's start at the top. Talk to me. Give us your breakdown Absolutely. Of what you're seeing here.
So, you know, here I'll give you my take on it. I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals obviously were number one overall. They go Joe Burrow. That, you know, makes complete sense. Just to recap the rest of their draft, mm-hmm. right? Because they were at the top of every round. So at the beginning of the second round, they take Clemson wide receiver T. Higgins. To start the third round, they take Logan Wilson. He's an inside linebacker out of Wyoming. They stay at the linebacker position, getting the linebacker from Appalachian State in the fourth round. In the fifth round, they get a defensive end out of Notre Dame, Khalid Kareem. In the sixth round, and I'm going to come back to this one, this is when they get a tackle out of Kansas. Yep. You're seeing it up on the screen now. And then to close it out in the seventh round, they go back to the linebacker position need, getting Marcus Bailey out of Purdue. So for me, listen, Joe, I mean, they get Joe Burrow, right? Mm-hmm. Number one overall. You can't say that they messed up the draft in any way, shape, or form. But to me, I was looking at, besides Joe Burrow at number one, mm-hmm. I thought there were two things that they really needed to address. One, okay. as you know, their run defense was, you know, a dumpster fire last year. I believe they gave up almost 150 yards a game on the ground. It was the worst in the NFL. I'm reminded of when the San Francisco 49ers ran for almost 300 yards against them. So they needed to adjust the run defense.
Yep.
And they did, right? They drafted 3 linebackers, you know, as early as Logan Wilson in the third round. The other big need for me, Joe, and I'd love to see your thoughts on this, mm-hmm. was still at the offensive line, okay? They gave up 48 sacks last season, right. all right? And so they needed to address the line. I know they had Jonah Williams from last year who was injured. But for me, even now with Joe Burrow,
yep.
as your number one overall pick, he's going to be this new rookie quarterback. You got to protect him. And for me, the fact that they did not go offensive line until the sixth round was something that was a little bit head-scratching for me, especially when you consider the level of offensive linemen that were still available at number 33 overall, right at the top of the second round, right?
Right.
There were still guys like Ezra Cleveland. There were still guys like Josh Jones who had first-round grades. And listen, T. Higgins is a good player, but you've got A.J. Green. You've got Tyler Boyd. You've got John Ross for another year, even though you didn't pick up his option. Mm-hmm. And when you have that level of wide receiver already, I just don't know if wide receiver was a bigger need than offensive line, especially with this rookie quarterback. So I don't know about draft grades, but there's, you know, their haul, and they were fine, except for the fact that I would have addressed offensive line a little bit earlier to protect the rookie quarterback who you see as your franchise leader for the next decade plus. What do you think, Joe?
It seems like, and you're right. I mean, listen, this is either going to be unbelievable, Cincinnati, for having the foresight to pick up Josh Jones, right, when they did, knowing you already have Jonah Williams. Could you imagine having a pair of young tackles that could be there
right.
for the next, I mean,
and wouldn't
be
that be smart
tremendous.
When you have a rookie quarterback?
Absolutely. But they did spend an awful lot of effort kind of revamping that linebacking core. And like you had mentioned yep. there, defense was absolutely abysmal last year. Couldn't stop anybody. They went all in, and they're really happy about the guys that they got here and kind of fortifying that defense on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
You're right. Listen, you got a rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow. I believe they're going to figure it out with Joe Mixon here. They'll figure something out to get him back. Solid running game. You got a
so that was going to be something I asked you.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've talked about these running backs.
Yes.
Will they spend the money on Joe Mixon?
Exactly. I don't think
Joe
Mixon.
That's another big question for them.
It's easier for Joe Mixon, I think, if I'm Cincinnati looking at it because of his past injury concerns. And they are a concern. So whether it be Cincinnati or anybody else, there's not a lot of leverage there for Mixon. But I do think he's in line for a pay grade and an up raise, and I think he'll get it within reason. He's not going to get Christian McCaffrey money because he's not Christian McCaffrey, and he's not on the field long enough. He has not been anyway, but he is a guy that Joe Burrow, man, could lean upon. It would be tremendous. I think they'll work on it. Big question remains to me, like you said, offensive line, what do they do with the tight end position? What kind of offense are we going to see here? Are we going to see the air raid kind of situation that we saw from LSU where Burrow's bombing it all over the place, a lot of misdirection? Like, what kind of offense are they going to have? I don't know the answer to that just
right. I think it's a really interesting question, okay? And here's the tea leaves that I'll try and read. First, on the Joe Mixon thing, though, Joe, you know, we just saw the same thing happen with Leonard Fournette, right?
Yep.
And if Fournette does not have the option, get picked up, if that's what we're talking about in Cincinnati in a year or two from now, or, you know, when they're just going to let him play it out and not sign him to the second deal, then what I just said about Leonard Fournette, like squeezing every drop out, then that's what Cincy will do with Joe Mixon as well, right? But I think what offense will it look like? I look at Zach Taylor, right? And Zach Taylor comes from, we were talking about the Don Shula coaching tree before. You know, Zach Taylor comes from what Sean McVay likes to do. Okay, so when I see the Rams, and the Rams, remember, they spent up and drafted and signed guys to have three wide receivers. They were going at it with Kupp, with Woods, and with Brandon Cooks. That ultimately didn't work out. So maybe that's part of what they are trying to do in Cincinnati, and they need all three of those wide receivers in Boyd, A.J. Green, and the recently drafted T. Higgins, you know, with Mixon playing the girly kind of role. I believe, you know, Zach Taylor wants to be a more dynamic, more open, more get the ball out of the quarterback's hand, timing-based offense like we see with the Rams, because that's what Zach Taylor is, right, Joe?
Yeah, it's exactly what he is. And the roster is absolutely improved. I think we all agree that what they did on the defensive side of the ball, you know, one of the biggest problems to me with the Bengals was their linebackers were old-school linebackers, too big, too slow, not fast enough, right? So they got isolated every time by offenses and got one-on-one situations that they got toasted. Yeah. Don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to be way better and more athletic on defense now. Okay. Now offense, you've got yourself you got T. Higgins over there. You got A.J. Green, who is going to be there for at least one more year, turning 32 years old. That's a pretty good option out there. You're going to have, I hope, the ability to have some, and I think this is where Burrow is going to succeed. You've got to create play action. You've got to give defenses that moment to be able to pause because are they handing it off? What are they doing? Can they establish that running game and give Joe Burrow opportunities to make the right read? I just hope Sean Taylor, and still a lot unknown about him as well. I don't know Sean Taylor. I don't know what he's going to be able to do. I'm hoping you create enough of a play action fear in defenses where just give the kid the opportunity to make the right read and the rest will take care of itself. But I don't know if that's what we're looking at here with this team yet.
Yeah, you're right. And we may see the play action game be big, and that goes back to then needing Joe Mixon to have to be a legitimate threat. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you think they may be somewhat improved, Joe, especially, you know, because they address some of the run defense. Yep. They get the new quarterback and maybe he can hit the ground running. Let's test your confidence, Joe.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Cincinnati Bengals, who had the worst record in the NFL last year, are not the lowest win total on the board, Joe.
I know.
Okay. They are at 5.5 ahead of, say, Washington, ahead of, say, Jacksonville, at the same level, ironically, as the Carolina Panthers, which is interesting to me for another reason. But, all right, Joe, let's see. 5.5 wins for the Cincinnati Bengals. The over is actually getting more money and the favorite. It's -130 to the over 5.5. +110, Joe, if you think the Bengals will win 5 or fewer games. 5.5 is the number. What do you think about the Bengals? Which way are you leaning?
I think they're certainly improved enough where even a bad team, I think, in a lot of situations this year is going to be able to win 6 games. I don't think they are. I think Cincinnati is going to be improved. And I think a lot of that is going to depend on Joe Burrow's success. But you don't get the number one draft pick, get yourself a quarterback there, and not at least be better than what you were last year, especially on defense. I think if that defense is as good as I think they're, which is going to be a huge step compared to what they were last year, the year before. I do think six, think about it, Dane, six wins is not, it's not a lot, guys.
It would be
we're
four more
at.
Than last year.
Right.
I think they went 2-14
right.
last year.
Right. And they were and decimated with injuries. You talked
That's
about
true.
Shauna Williams. They got, they lost
AJ Green.
They brought in Ryan, you know, they were throwing everything against the wall to see what they had. So I wouldn't read too much into that. This is going to be a different team. It's all going to have okay. a lot of energy. It's going to have a lot of fun. I don't put them in that category where I think, oh, Cincinnati's a three-win team. They're going to be terrible.
Okay.
They can still be bad and win six games. You know, don't get me wrong. But I do think maybe six wins this year, eight the next. I think they can progress that way in that division.
All right, and remember, that division has the reigning MVP in it, right? Yep. And then we think, you know, you and I both think the Browns may be a little bit better this
Absolutely.
Year.
Yep.
And then we don't know, obviously, what will happen with Big Ben and his rehab and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then, Joe. And, you know, this is the Cincinnati Bengals we're talking about, right? If this was another team that we Never. Expect to be better, we could start with the win totals, but then we could look at other ways to try to bet them, right?
Right.
Like, yes, no for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Are they a contender in the division? Do you want to bet them for the conference or the Super Bowl?
Right.
We're not going to go that far on Cincy because
no.
we don't expect them to be true threats.
Right.
But I do want to ask you, if you think they are moving in the right direction, would you ever be willing, the yes, no for the Bengals to make the playoffs, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Yes is plus 680.
Oof.
Even almost 7-1 if you think Joe Burrow can take the universe by storm with AJ Green in tow. Can I interest you in 7-1 for the Bengals to make the playoffs, Joe?
I'd rather lay it for the over 5.5 wins. Let's baby style. I want to crawl before I you know, before I start running a marathon here. But I do
okay.
think there's some value in the over there to be able to pull off six wins with the kind of weapons and athletes they
yeah.
have. And again, this could go terribly wrong. To me, they're either going to be a six, maybe seven win team, or they're going to win one game. And we're going to be
I'll
looking
take
at
the
a
under,
new, we're going to take a new look at head coach and everything along those
That's
lines
right.
as well. So it's
I'll take
be
the under
year.
And they're going to draft that offensive lineman out of Oregon, probably like number
next
two
year.
Overall
yeah. Yeah.
next year. 30 seconds, what I will say. AJ Green could have a bounce back. These
yes.
wide receivers could be fantasy assets because remember, garbage time production counts for your fantasy team.
Yeah, I think if they can establish some sort of running game and give Burrow the opportunity to find one of these big-ass receivers there in a 6'4" T. Higgins. And A.J. Green back to being able to get those, you know, those
yeah.
passes now that when he would, instead of being double teamed, now all of a sudden you can't let T. Higgins run downfield. I think this is going to be a very interesting year.
Don't
but,
forget about A.J. Green in your
yeah,
fantasy drafts.
Absolutely.
You know, out of sight, out of mind. But
yep.
they're going to be down garbage
yep.
time
yep.
and the trusted target.
Let's see what, to me, maybe the biggest question mark is around Sean Taylor and what kind of coach we really have here. But we will figure that out. He's got his quarterback. He's got some weapons. Improved defense. Should be able to win six games, but time will tell. All right, coming up, we'll take a look here at where we stand. Major League Baseball. Oh, yeah. Little Michael Jordan also, too, I think has been fascinating since this thing has started. We'll go ahead and talk about that all. Coming up on The Grid, SportsGrid.com.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back in here to the Early Line on the Grid. It is sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez here with you as we continue to take a look at some of the headlines from around the world of sports. And the NFL continues to deliver, as Dane and I just kind of went over a roster reset here, just like the Cincinnati Bengals did. And we went over them and you know, how that team is now currently constructed and what they did with the draft.
I love how you think you can win six games, Joe. I love how you, I mean, this may be side bet time. I don't know. I don't know, because I might be out there under.
I just think, oh, well, listen, I think there's value in it. I don't know that it's not a for sure thing, but I do think there's some value in saying a team could be that terrible and yet still win six games in the NFL if this kid is what everybody thinks he is. And really, as a rookie quarterback, we all know that it's about decision-making and about talent. If he is put in a position and makes the right decisions, I think, yeah, exactly. They could be terrible and still win six games here with the kind of talent they have. But that remains to be seen. A lot of that, again, is going to be coaching. Another rookie quarterback, too, in this draft, making some headlines, of course, that would have been Jalen Hurts, who was picked there by the Philadelphia Eagles. And we finally heard from Carson Wentz, who hopped on a phone call yesterday with the media and told everyone how excited he is to work with Jalen Hurts and that, you know, can't wait to welcome him in, and that he also understood that he knows how important the quarterback position is, and he also understands that the way this roster is currently constructed, that in all likelihood they were going to need to get a backup quarterback. They were going to need to get a quarterback anyway. Listen, he said, listen, you know, with Peterson, of course, is the head coach and the different wrinkles and the other things that they do there. Right. Wentz is like, I'm all in. You know, whatever helps us win football games, I'm all in. I don't think Jalen Hurts is there to challenge him this year for the starting job. They're obviously invested in Wentz, but, you know, Jalen Hurts does bring a definitely different aspect with that head coach and the way that roster and the way Carson Wentz seems to get hurt every now and then. It makes sense for Carson Wentz. You know what? You should invite him in because, yes, it's not about him taking your job right now. It's about winning football games. The more you win, and if he can help you do that, doesn't it make more sense, Dane, to say, hey, absolutely, let's go. Let's go get this.
Yeah, I mean, I think this one is different than the Green Bay situation for a number of reasons. First of all, shout out to Carson Wentz, who's probably just like feeling the afterglow. I think he welcomed his first child into the world over the weekend as well. So maybe he's just happy on life, you know, and ain't going to have the same reaction. But I think it's different for a number of reasons. Like, the threat Aaron Rodgers is feeling right now, I don't think Carson Wentz is feeling. And here's why. One, Wentz is a lot younger. Yes. Than Aaron Rodgers. I think that's one good step, point. Right? So it's not like they're turning the page on you, Carson Wentz. The other thing for me is that the Philadelphia Eagles as a franchise kind of like have the scars to show for the fact that when Wentz went down, you know, they need that backup. Nick Foles took them to a Super Bowl championship, showing the need for the backup quarterback. Remember last year also, Joe, we had a 40-plus-year-old McNown who was within one score of the Eagles advancing in the playoffs last year, right?
That's
so
correct.
The Eagles, more than most other teams, realize in the short term the value of the backup quarterback. He is younger, so it's less of a threat. Here's the other thing, and you said it yourself. Peterson's going to find ways to use Jalen Hurts this
Absolutely.
Year. Okay, whether it's a package of 10, 12 plays, whether we're talking third downs, red zones, read options, straight quarterback runs for Hurts, there's
coming.
Ways to have a package for Jalen Hurts in a way that's not the case for Jordan Love up yep. in Green Bay, right? And here's the last thing. With the Green Bay Packers thing, Joe, I mentioned that for me, the bigger crime was not addressing wide receiver later on in the draft or at all. Philly, you can't say that about. They also had a need at wide receiver, but they get Jalen Reagor in the first round. They spent one or two other mid to late round picks on wide receivers, and they traded for Marquise Goodwin out of San Francisco. So at least the Eagles still address the area of need, right? I know that they can leverage and utilize him in the short term, and it's less of a threat to Wentz because Wentz does get hurt, and yes. Wentz is younger. So I think for all those things, it makes sense that Wentz would be able to kind of welcome him with open arms as opposed to the situation in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's does the quarterback or do they change in any way, shape, or form in Philadelphia? Not really. If anything, they become just a little bit more dangerous. And, oh, yeah, maybe a little bit more depth now in the quarterback position.
Right.
Still a rookie. We don't know. It's truly an unknown. You don't know what he's going to how they're going to utilize him. But the
right.
idea that they can have a guy in a position like they did with Nick Foles is fantastic. They're going to give Wentz every opportunity this year, whatever it's going to be.
Absolutely.
They're going to give him a chance to fall out of favor. I think the same thing with Andy Dalton in Dallas, too. It's not going to affect, guys, what Dak Prescott's status with this team is. They're still going to work on a long-term deal. Andy Dalton just gives them a fallback position, which you'd be crazy not to have. I wouldn't look into it too much. And again, even Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. He's going to be your quarterback. He's under contract for two more years. Got really nothing to do with bringing Jordan Love in to be the quarterback tomorrow.
Right.
This is all nothing really. Nick Foles and Trubisky. We already knew Trubisky
right.
was on his way out. I mean, when you
right.
look at it, Jameis Winston backing up Breeze. Nothing that has really taken place this offseason with the quarterback position tells me a whole lot has really changed one way or the other outside of what are you going to do with the Chargers? Because you just spent an awful lot of time trying to blow smoke up Tyrod Taylor's ass, telling us how this was his time
right.
and we're going to get. And then you use the number six pick on a dude that you're going to sit Justin Herbert? Because he's in the position, Dane, to me, where he's walking into a loaded team, Justin Herbert, and if you were ever going to play a rookie, wouldn't you want to play him when you got nothing but talent around him? Isn't that usually when good things happen? I don't know what to make of. The only quarterback move here since the draft to me that I think is the most interesting is what happens with Tyrod Taylor now and Justin Herbert. If he can play, I almost think it's guaranteed he's going to play. And then if you're Tyrod, and you did a whole
yeah.
expose about how this was, you know, I can play. This is my opportunity. The team's going to give me a chance. And then if you don't play Justin Herbert, what the hell? Number six pick, and you're not going to play him? To Tyrod Taylor?
So Joe,
it's a killer situation.
Think,
it really is.
I don't think Herbert's going to be the starter like week one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially in this year. What did we talk about in the last hour?
Right.
How teams ain't getting together. They're doing virtual stuff.
Right.
That makes it harder for these rookie quarterbacks to soak up the playbook and all that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So what I actually foresee is more of what we have seen in the past, right? Like last year, Dwayne Haskins was a first round pick, didn't get handed the keys to the car until the middle of the season. Drew Locke was a second round pick, didn't get handed the keys to the car until after Thanksgiving. Daniel Jones, the number six pick overall, Joe, the same exact pick that Justin Herbert is this year. He didn't get handed the keys to the car until, I think it was October when that actually happened. And so I don't think Herbert's going to be under center week one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be learning. And then honestly, Joe, it comes down to Tyrod, in my opinion, because listen, Tyrod has played this role. Remember, he was the guy that was under center with Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick. And then he obviously took the reins in Cleveland. But for me, Joe, it's like If Tirada's playing well and the Chargers are winning games, I don't think you make the switch. You know what I mean? Like, if Tirada's on the center and the Chargers are 5-1, how do you make that change?
But Daniel Jones got drafted by a team that wasn't going to win three games. The Chargers are a playoff team with Super Bowl aspirations because of the talent around him. Shouldn't you want to play your number six pick in that situation? I mean, Eli was there. It was nice because...
I don't know, Joe.
You sucked. They knew they sucked. Like, so I don't know that, you know, what is the goal here? If the kid is more athletic and if the kid... Listen, the only thing they're holding back is he's a rookie. Then wouldn't you want to surround him with the kind of talent you want and throw him to the Wolves right away? The sooner the better?
Yeah, I understand that. You know, for me, it's the same as like when we talk about Green Bay, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they did that move for the long term, but what about them for the short term? And for the Chargers, on some level, it's the same way for me. I understand he's the 6th overall pick. It's going to be his team eventually,
right?
But there's a big time saying in the NFL, right? Quote unquote, gives us the best chance to win.
Right.
And if Tirad is still the player in that locker room who gives the Chargers, like in September of 2020, the best chance to win, then he's going to be under center. And by the time we hit Halloween, if the Chargers are 6-2, you can't make that change if they are contending. Now, if they're 3-4, then you hand the keys to the car over. Mm. But I think Tirad is going to get the good old college try. And that's what Lynn is saying. Like, he likes him. I think it's going to be up to the performance and the record of the Chargers for when, not if, but when the baton gets passed.
Well, the baton's getting passed in New England. And his name is Jared Stidham. And it's amazing to me, Dane, that how people are just, they're still fighting that concept and that idea. Like, you do understand, like, that was the reason he was drafted. This is Bill Belichick has done this through 20 years of Brady, man. He gets these guys he likes in order to be able to groom them. Jared Stidham is the guy. They love him. They love his deep hit. They think he's got all the tools necessary in that system, which is important, guys.
Yep.
In that system, which does not ask the quarterback to be Superman, only ask them to make, guess this, the right decision. The right decision. They'll put
him
in
a game manager,
shot.
Just like Tom
what
Brady.
Well, you know, hey, listen, you got to make you got to complete the ball. You got to take shots down. You know, that's all part of it, but you got to have the talent in order to be able to do that. More importantly, above the shoulders, they got to trust you. They trust you. Plus, you got Brian Hoyer there, too, who's been around the game for a while. So I think New England's in a much better situation, at least in their minds, at the quarterback position than anybody else. But again, the Bears, nothing changes. Dallas, nothing changes. Chargers, all right, to your point, all right, Tyrod Taylor's going to be the guy until he's not anymore, right? Green Bay, you're still going with Aaron Rodgers. Cincinnati was always going to be Joe Burrow's. Jacksonville made the decision right afterwards. It's Gardner Minshew's team here, guys. That's why we got rid of, you know, it's why we got rid of Foles. So it is Gardner Minshew. Okay, Gardner Minshew. Now, Cam Newton is the only wild card, and Cam Newton is the only guy left out in the streets. And really, the question, a matter of if he was to land somewhere, where would he land? Now, all those teams that we thought for Andy Dalton, I think are still would be open for Cam Newton. Depending on who, what, where, and how. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I do think as the summer comes around, we'll, as soon as we can have an opportunity to actually feel, touch, smell, look at Cam Newton and his injury and how healthy he is, I think that's when we'll start to see a lot of action with him. But outside of that, I'll ask you this, Dane. Of all the quarterback changes that we've had from the draft through here, right? Which of these backup quarterbacks at this point do you think will be starting the last game of the season for them? Which one?
Marcus
not
Mariota.
Starting to say who will be the starting quarterback for
Marcus
that team?
Mariota.
So Mariota will be one. Okay. So he'll.
I think
he'll
Mariota
overtake.
Will move.
Okay.
I think Mariota will move from backup to starter for the Raiders at some point this season. The rookies, you know, like if you're asking at the end of the year, you know, I do believe, I mean, unless the Chargers are in the playoffs because Tirad gets them rolling,
Good point.
In that case, they don't ship, you know, they don't change midstream if Tirad is getting them in a playoff berth, right? You got to figure, and I'd ask you in the same way, I think it's a when, not if question in Miami for Tua. right? Whether he beats the timeline and is healthy. And, you know, Fitzpatrick, if he works magic,
right?
Then he kind of holds on. It's a similar situation as the Chargers. I think Mariota is the starter. I think Nick Foles is the starter of the Bears by, you know, to be quite honest, I think he's the starters of the Bears by Labor Day, but that's a different, but that's a different topic, right? And then with New England, I think New England is real, real interesting, Joe. Okay. Like the Pats have done this before. They did it with Jimmy Garoppolo, groomed him to be the heir apparent under Brady. They did it with Jacoby Brissett, groomed him and then shipped him off. And they did it last year with Jarrett Stidham. So for me, I think the Patriots are in fact casting their lot for 2020 with Jarrett Stidham.
Right.
And if it works out, great. And they got a quarterback who they could build around and they think is, you know, capable of being a starting quarterback. Great. Right. If not, guess what, Joe?
Yep.
They're going to be high up in the draft. They're going to use their assets. Yep. They're going to try and get Trevor Lawrence, or they're going to throw a ton of money at any of these free agents that may be on the market, even at Deshaun Watson, who may be on the market, whatever the ripple effect is for Las Vegas. If, you know, Derek Carr could be out there next year. If Mariota, you know, the tide just keeps on turning, right? So I think New England is very, very interesting. You mentioned one other team I'll mention is the Indianapolis Colts, Joe.
Yes.
They have Phillip Rivers. You know, we know he's not a long-term solution, but he is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Eason in the fourth round, Joe.
Right.
So it makes me think that, like, they think he could be a fit.
Maybe, yeah.
And so maybe, but with Phillip Rivers there, they've got themselves leash or a window to find out, right? There's also Jacoby Brissett, Joe.
Yes, there is. Yep.
And that is a very interesting one to me. Yep. A guy with NFL starting experience and an interesting cap number, right? So if you're the Colts, are you really paying Phillip Rivers $25 million and carrying Brissett for like $20 million and invested the pick in Eason? I'm intrigued by Brissett. I know they like him, but if they liked him so much, they wouldn't have spent the fourth round pick on another quarterback, okay? So I wonder if Brissett is long for the Colts. I always think, you know, could he be another insurance policy for Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because I think of all the backup situations right now, I do think the one quarterback that is not going to start the season as a starter, but the halfway or end point very well could be the starter of that team. And I think it could very well be Andy Dalton. And we'll talk about that coming up as to why that is. Barring injury, of course, there's some thoughts behind that.
I got another one, too.
You got one, too. Okay, we'll talk about that coming up next year. The Early Line, it is The Grid, sportsgrid.com. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To The Grid, it is The Early Line. Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez, thank you guys very much for stopping by, hanging out with us as we're talking a little NFL football, and we talked a little bit about how not really much has changed from what it was going to be just a couple of months ago. Draft comes, and while we've had a flurry of different different quarterbacks who are going to be wearing different jerseys and different teams, different cities, new quarterbacks, rookies. The reality is, I think the game plan for most of those teams continues. The Saints are still going to have Drew Brees, despite the fact that Jameis Winston is there. Right. Phillip Rivers is the quarterback of the Colts, which is why he's transferred. Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Teddy Bridgewater.
We know not much, especially recently. You know, we've got new quarterbacks like we were talking Herbert and Tua. Listen, they're not number one on the depth chart right now. Not much has changed until they are ready. You know, the question becomes, you got an Andy Dalton in Dallas, right? You do got a Winston in Tampa, in New Orleans. Mariota, right, on a new team. A lot of these guys with experience. Flacco is still out there, by the way, we should mention.
He's out there.
There is some still experience along with, obviously, Cam Newton. And the question we posed is, if you had to take one of those quarterbacks, one of these quarterbacks certainly with experience now find themselves from a starter to a backup, you know, which one do you think? And I think we all agree that the rookies may not start the season, but at some point halfway through the season or even the end of the season, they're going to be starting games. But which one of these former starters who might actually, we'd have the most comfort and maybe have the most success, Dane, and will be there either halfway or towards the end of the season, be the starter. And I said Andy Dalton, and I think because I think Dallas is in a position now where if it gets to the point in the season, and let's take injuries off the table.
Okay.
If it's not translating into wins for Dallas.
Right.
At this point, you know, at the halfway point or somewhere in the thing. If it's for whatever, whether it's Dak's fault or not, I do see a number of different scenarios that they would be willing to bring in Andy Dalton to back him up, to take over the reins. I don't know. Yeah, and again, they'd be willing, I think, more willing than some of these other teams to make that switch, right? And I'm not saying things got to go terrible, but if it's not translating into wins, there's so much at stake with Jerry Jones and company. I don't think that Mike McCarthy would have a problem. I don't think Jerry would have a problem saying, Dak, look, we got to make the switch. We can do it. I could definitely see a scenario where, especially against the better teams, that's always where Dak has had his problems. If he's not converting those to wins, I think they'll pull that trigger faster than most people think. They'll go ahead and say, you know what? We're losing time here. We don't want to give up any more ground to Philadelphia or whoever it may be. So I do think there's a good shot. Andy Dalton, if I had to pick one of them, would be the guy I would say, do not be surprised if it starts the year one way, but by the end of the year, you've got yourself a different quarterback, and that quarterback may be Andy Dalton.
You know, and that's interesting. I'll say two things.
Barring injury.
Fair. Yeah, I understand. You know, and if that's the case, two things, Joe. One, then Dak ain't getting no $40 million.
I agree.
And two, if that were to happen and we are in that place, how ugly is it going to be in Dallas, Joe? You know, because everyone's going to talk about it. Yep. If we are in that, you know, universe,
in that spot. Yep.
And it's week seven, right? And it's week seven and they have to go to Andy Dalton for something other than injury, okay? I'm not saying Dak gets concussed or he tears his meniscus or anything like that. They're doing it for performance? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Joe, can you imagine the, like, reality TV show soap opera this is going to be? Because you're going to get Jerry Jones talking about it. Right. You'll have the head coach talking about it. You'll have Stephen Jones talking about it. There'll be microphones in front of Dak. There'll be microphones in front of the Red Rifle. There'll be microphones in front of Zeke Elliott about this. Yep. And what, remember, in the draft, I even said the pick of CeeDee Lamb, all it does is put more pressure on Dak and have the wall close in. And Andy Dalton just adds to that, ratchets it up a little bit more. Can you imagine, Joe, if in Halloween we are at the place where the Cowboys think they have to make a switch? Oh my God, I can't wait to tune in to see what happens. But the only other place I can see it, I gave you Mariota.
Yes.
I do think he'll be the Raiders quarterback by Thanksgiving. I gave you Cole. I do think he'll be the Bears quarterback by Thanksgiving. I'll give you one other. And it still may be Cam Newton, Joe. But Kyle Allen in Washington. Okay. It sounds to me, I don't know, Joe, but putting it all together, like, no one really thinks that Dwayne Haskins is the guy. You know what I mean?
Like,
it seems like, and this is a new regime, they are not emotionally tied to Dwayne Haskins. And what they did was go out and trade for Kyle Allen.
Right.
So why? Because he can pick up the system, because of familiarity. There's something about Allen that Ron Rivera likes. Okay. Yep. We know that because we wouldn't have, you know, acquired him if that wasn't the case. So I do believe that there's a universe out there where Dwayne Haskins defecates the mattress and they have to go to another opportunity. And that could be Allen. But if they get early inklings that Haskins is not the guy, guess what? Cam Newton's phone is going to ring.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to ring a lot. And it's, I still think that's a possibility. I do think that
they said it over the weekend.
Yep.
Ron Rivera said it over the weekend. Like, we've thought about it. We got to see what the situation is. We got to see how it works out. Yep. And all that is code for, you know, if Dwayne Haskins wets the bed or not. You know, that's what it is.
I agree. I think there is a distinct possibility that maybe they're not done yet. I also, and I question it, Dan, and I just don't know, and I'm trying to figure out a way to look at this, but are they really going to go with Mason Rudolph as the backup in Pittsburgh? Is that
so
really? I mean, what do you see that happening?
I've mentioned that. Remember, a few weeks ago, I thought Pittsburgh was a potential place for a guy like Jameis, right? Yeah. Because it was the situation where there may be a path to starting in the short term.
Right.
But in the medium long term, you have an opportunity, right? He went with New Orleans instead, where there is that longer term opportunity and he gets the benefit of reputational rehab under Sean Payton, knowing the division. I understand that. But Pittsburgh is another place I do have my eye on, okay?
Yep.
Big Ben, I don't know. Did you see the picture on social media, Joe? Big Ben in like this bear? Big Ben himself looks like a bear. He's still not shaven. I don't know about his elbow. You can, in the same way that I could see an Instagram video of Cam Newton and I can see an Instagram video of Tua Tagovailoa, like me just seeing clips of Big Ben throwing or Big Ben saying he feels good, am I going to take that to the bank? I'm not so sure.
Right.
Okay, so I do think Pittsburgh is another place to watch. And the Steelers' doctors can't meet with him just yet because of the pandemic. So that is a place to watch, especially because of the rehab that's in play. This is not like an old quarterback like Brady or Breeze or Rivers. There's also the injury concern there.
Yes.
He's got to come back from surgery at the age of like 38 on that throwing elbow.
Yep.
And the Steelers have never really planned for life without Big Ben.
No, and they're going to have to at some particular point here, but I think we'll have a pretty good idea once they can get Big Ben back on the field to see what we're looking at there. But could I see Cam Newton there? Is that a possibility?
But if they went Cam, they would have, that would be the same message to Ben as Jordan Love is to Aaron Rodgers. You know, if they bring in Cam, that's a pretty big fish. You know what I mean? That's not bringing in Trevor Siemian. That's not bringing in Matt Barkley.
That's
not like trading with Miami for Josh Rosen.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? If they bring in Cam, this is like,
that's a different ball.
We expect Cam to be up on deck, you know? So I don't know if Big Ben is in on it and knows, then sure. But otherwise, you're in the same position you're in with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
What do you think? And I know it's kind of crazy to even be talking about this, but the reality is, and I'll just give you, we said, guys, that we're looking at a situation where you've got, and correct me if I'm wrong, we said Joe Flacco is still out there as a possibility, right? So we got him as a possibility out there. We also have Alex Smith out there.
Yeah, too. There's a few.
And I'm just, I'm curious because Alex Smith won't go away. He's still under contract. I believe they're still paying him in Washington there. I don't know if he is able and he is doing everything in his power to get back out on the field from what we understand here, which in and of itself is just a little bit nuts.
Amazing.
It really is. I mean, but he wants to get back out. Is there a situation where you think Alex Smith could work back into the fold in Washington, if that's the case, and would you want him there? I mean, let's face it, Alex Smith wasn't with this regime. But right. if he's able to play, does he play?
I have no idea, Joe.
So
I have
tough,
no
man.
Idea yeah, about so Alex tough. Smith. And like, listen, I wish the man well. Yes. I hope he's successful and gets a chance, right? But what you're asking for, like another team with another team, take a gamble on him without correct. the you know, seeing the injury and without being seen. I think that's hard. Yeah. I think if anything, he comes back and has some kind of role with the Washington team and can show in practice that he can still do it. And then in the following year, if he still wants to do it, maybe then there's a market for him, you know. Yeah. But I just brought it up also, Joe. You know, we talk about Cam Newton, we talk about Joe Flacco, but if Pittsburgh, for example, realizes that Mason Rudolph ain't the guy, Duck Hodges right. ain't the guy, and they don't want to go like shove all in with a guy like Cam and the money he may command, there are other names, Joe. And I'll tell you, they are not sexy
no.
by any stretch of the imagination,
but
they do have NFL experience and have won games in the NFL. I'm talking about guys like Trevor Siemian. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about guys like Mike Glennon. I'm talking about guys like, you know, Cody Kessler,
yep.
Brandon Allen, Matt Moore, Blake Bortles, okay, you know, as well. So there are names out there that may be above Mason Rudolph and, you know, kind of that quote-unquote service backup. You know, like Trevor Siemian, for example, was the backup for the Jets last year. He had his leg broke by Myles Garrett. Before that, he was a starter in Denver, right? Like, so you could do worse for your backup quarterback than a healthy Trevor Siemian. You could do worse for your backup than a healthy Cody Kessler.
That's correct.
You know, so, like, it won't excite you, but it is at least that insurance policy on the same level as, like, a Blaine Gabbert we've seen, you know, have an incredible career, right? A Chase Daniel. So there are guys like that. That are still out there, Joe.
Yep. And listen, they teams still have an opportunity here to decide the direction they're going to go. I do, and we all know, Dane, that injuries are going to be a fact of life here. And there's always at least one, right, a quarterback that's going to get hurt early, guys. And I do think that there's going to be an opportunity for either just before the season starts or even – the possibility of quarterbacks coming in here just after the season starts, that list of names that we just gave you there, I'd be shocked if this Cam and Flacco and these guys are not Siemian. They're probably going to be in a camp somewhere.
They'll be on a roster somewhere.
Somewhere and see how it goes. But injuries are going to happen, and I think the bigger the expectations for a team, and I don't think Tannehill gets the ball last year if Tennessee doesn't think that they can compete and they can play.
Right.
I don't think they do it. I think they made the switch, much like I think Andy Dalton and Jameis and others that they bring to the table, that I think teams with expectations are easier. I think they find it much more comfortable to be like, you know what? Let's make the switch. Let's pull it out because of that. I think if you go to like a rookie quarterback, or if you go to somebody less accomplished, you're pretty much sending the message that, all right, we're playing for next year and we are good to go. And there are some of those situations that torch will be passed at some point in Miami with the Chargers. The question is when. But I do think that some of these other guys and these situations, Big Ben included, if it push comes to shove and we're not winning games with you under center, one of these other guys is going to get a chance, just like Tannehill did, to revive his career.
So, and you say some of these teams are kicking the can down the road on this decision.
Yep.
And I think, for example, the non-action can say some things as well. Like the fact that the Jaguars did not go and get Andy Dalton, have not, you know, traded away Nick Foles, are not calling Cam Newton or Jameis. That, to me, only solidifies that I think they want no part of winning games. They'll run Gardner Minshew out there and wind up 2-14. And then Trevor Lawrence, here we come. The last question I'll ask you, let's bring it full circle on Miami. You're plugged in there, Joe.
Right.
Josh Rosen, literally. You know, I mean, you got Fitzpatrick. You got Tua, right? So they traded, I believe it was a third-round pick they traded to acquire Rosen in the draft. So if a team comes calling, call it Pittsburgh, call it at Detroit, call it whoever, right, for a backup quarterback, and they say, hey, We'll give you a fifth for Josh Rosen. You pull the trigger? Like, I mean, he has no use. And if there's anybody who has any value in him to be a backup quarterback, wouldn't you just flip him? Because you have Fitz, you have Tua. Rosen is not part of the plan. So why not just get whatever you can for him from one of these teams, like you're saying, who may need a backup quarterback? And, like, Rosen has won games in the NFL.
Yep.
He's just got a raw deal.
And we'll continue to get so. But I it's another name you got to be aware of. And the Dolphins, interestingly enough, they've not quite made the decision on what to do with them. But there is a scenario, I think, given the injury history with Tua and given that Fitzpatrick ain't getting any younger here, people. That Rosen could very well. They like him here.
They keep him on the roster.
You never know. I mean, he's a great insurance policy. And we talked about the three quarterback moving forward with the extra games and everything along those lines.
Right.
So much to be determined here still to come. But interesting trying to wrap our heads around it all. And we'll do so again, of course, tomorrow here on the Early Line. In the meantime, much more programming coming your way. Make sure you subscribe to The Grid. Those of you on social media, hit us up at Sports Grid and, of course, sportsgrid.com. For Dane Martinez, I'm Joe Ranieri. Enjoy your day. Be safe. We'll be back breaking it all down for you again tomorrow morning on The Early Line. We'll speak to you then.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.